It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
We are back live. We say good morning here on Money Matters. So we're in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm your host, Wes Moss. Well, gosh, we covered a lot of stuff in the first hour. We covered perennial dividend payers, companies that have been ratcheting up dividends for the last 50 plus years. We talked about why there weren't more traditional utility companies on the list. And then we talked about some of the utility companies that are paying 5% in interest right now, or 5% in yield or dividend cash flow. And why are they doing that? It's because the prices have gone down. The cash flow piece has stayed steady. So you're buying that cash flow for a lesser price at a discount to some extent. So a company that was yielding 4 and is now down 10% in price is now closer to 5. And that's just the mechanics of, if the cash flow stays the same and you can buy it for a lower dollar amount, you get a better yield. And if you continue to hold that company for as long as they don't cut the dividend or the cash flow piece stays steady, then you should always get the 5%, at least on your original, what we call yield at cost. That's the key here. What are you buying the cash flow for? I refer back to, and I used to get questions about this, where you'll hear ads that'll say, how do you, companies that are yielding, here are investments that yield 55% a year. And they're very misleading, because you're thinking, oh, wait a minute, there's a company paying 55% a year. At least that's what they're trying to convey to you. And the reality is that they go back to companies that you could have purchased 10, 15, 20 years ago at a certain yield at cost. And today, because the prices have gone up and the dividend payments have gone up, now today's yield on that old price 10, 15, 20 years ago looks obviously tremendously amount better. So they're very misleading articles or news blurbs or clickbait or whatever you want to call it on the internet. And they typically go back to the discussion about buying dividends or buying dividend paying stocks and focusing on the yield at cost, meaning what I had to pay to get that cash flow. So that's what we'll continue to talk about here on this edition of Money Matters, as it is hot as can be already. It's over 80 degrees on Peachtree already, and it's only getting hotter. And I'll be in the studio for a while longer, and by the time I get out of here, it'll probably be almost 90 degrees. But that's okay. Try to make our way somewhere, maybe to the pool. The number in the studio is 404-872-0750. You can also call me at 1-800-WSB-TALK. Ryan Ely is here, of course, like every Sunday, to take your calls. And if he might just answer your question and send you on your way, and you go off and go back to having fun for the rest of your Sunday. Or he may patch those calls through, and then we'll talk. It depends on the question. But either way, we're here to help. And we really are here on Sunday mornings to be able to do that and have what we would consider as objective as a discussion as humanly possible. Hey, this Wes guy, I've been doing Money Matters for many, many years now. I guess we're in our 7th year here on WSB. And I am in the money and investment business as well. So I have a traditional fee-only RIA, registered investment advisory firm. I'm one of the partners in a company called Wella, which is a digital advisory firm that we focus on lower cost ETF or index fund portfolios, and delivered in an even more convenient and even more transparent way through what we could, if you want to say digital is a fancy word to say, through your iPhone or online. And it's, I continue to get questions about the revolution, the digital revolution in financial advice. And really, it's nothing tremendously groundbreaking. It's really just an evolution. It's a new delivery mechanism through the internet or through an iPhone. So it's easier, and it's easier to operate and view your accounts. And then you talk to an advisor as opposed to going to the 35th floor of some huge, expensive marble building. You Skype with somebody for 15 minutes, and you do that a couple times a year, or you do something over the phone a couple times a year, and you're able to both look at your portfolios at the same time because you're both looking at it online, and you're understanding what's happening, and there's these digital tools to make sure you stay on track. That's nothing groundbreaking. The role of these digital advisory firms like Wella, my firm, or Personal Capital or Betterment or Wealthfront, the other companies that are doing something similar, they're there really to just evolve how advice gets delivered in a world where people are very comfortable now being online, being at a desktop, being at an iPad. So it's really just an evolution. It's lower cost. It is more efficient. So advisors can talk to more families and continue to bring the cost down, which is, quite frankly, what Vanguard did 30 years ago. They evolved high-cost mutual funds into low-cost index funds. And guess what happened? Vanguard, over a very long time, over 30 years, became the biggest investment advisory firm in America. Maybe the planet. I don't know the numbers that are coming out of the Middle East, but maybe the planet. And it's just because they effectively delivered financial solutions in a slightly different way, in a lower cost way. And that's what's happening today. These new digital advisory firms like Wella. So the website on that is yourwella.com, YOURWELA. Wella, by the way, means, it's an old English word for wealth. So yourwella.com is just a way to understand where all your finances are in one portal and make sure that they're being managed effectively and you're not missing something. Is that groundbreaking, revolutionary? Well, it is a little bit. And it's made possible today by advances in technology and digital visualization. We can really do some wonderful things now when you open up your iPad or you go online that you couldn't do 10 years ago. But we can today, and it's continuing to be, it's really a benefit to you as an investor as it continues to help transparency go up and costs come down. And I don't see that as being a bad thing at all. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We'll go to the phones here. Steve joins us from Cumming. Good morning, Steve. How can we help, my friend?
Hi, Wes. My question is, I'm primarily in stocks, very little in bonds. And I do watch CNBC quite a bit, and the topic is always, not if, but when Yellen is going to raise interest rates. And they always seem to say that the market is going to drop quite a bit when interest rates go up. Well, we all know it's coming. I do have quite a paper profit in my stock portfolio now. Is it a good idea maybe just take the profits and get out of the market now before the interest rates do go up? Or do you think that when they announce an interest rate increase that the market won't really take that much of a hit?
Well, so we've done a lot of studying on this, Steve, because there's an obvious impact. There's an obvious impact when it comes to interest rates and almost any asset, Steve. So if you think about it, when interest rates are 5 or 6% on average, they're relatively attractive to what you could necessarily get in a stock, let's say. But when interest rates are at 0 or 1%, then it makes other asset classes look even more attractive on a relative basis. So, of course, the whole thought is rates go up, everything gets a little less attractive, right? And that's what CNBC is trying to refer to. And remember, and I think you know this, and we all know this, that CNBC is the closest thing. It's financial pornography, for God's sakes. It is very much about entertainment, and they're there to scare you. And that's fine, because we understand that. And I think most of us understand that it is entertaining. It's mildly informative, depending on who's getting interviewed and if they're not fighting back and forth. And it raises what I think are important questions that we have to address. And one of them is what you just brought up. And that's, hey, listen, we know rates are going up. We know that that's not necessarily good for stocks. It's not necessarily good for bonds. But what do we do about it? And it has to do with going back to timing the market. So I'm, as you know, and I talked about this in the, earlier in the 9 o'clock hour, time in the bond market. You think time in the stock market is hard? Try time in the bond market. It's even that much more difficult. So here's what I am. So I'm not a believer in timing the market, but that's not quite what you're asking. What you're asking, at least what I'm getting out of this, is, and what I am a believer in, is balance. And for a lot of different reasons. And the primary reason is that the over time, typically, the best investors are those that are able to maintain the course, stay the course, and do that because psychologically they know they have a safety net. And that's why I think the having a grouping of both stocks and bonds together, and the key here is owning the right kind of bonds over the next couple of years as rates do go up, Steve, is that I do think that because the market is still close to, not, we're not at the all-time high, but we're pretty darn close, and we haven't had a big correction for a long time. If you are 90 or 100% in stocks and you're anywhere even close to retirement, then I think the answer is yes. I think the answer is yes, it is. It's, I don't think you get hurt if you start to enter into your diversification today so that you sell 30 or 40%, depending on the tax situation, of course, and try to maintain more of a balance as opposed to such a heavy allocation that's completely reliant on the stock market. And we're going to have more volatility because we know rates are going up. And even though we are anticipating it, there's a big difference between anticipating it and it actually happening. And you can get a little bit of selling begets selling when interest rates finally go up. And of course, some areas will do well, some won't. Now remember, Steve, just remember that they're not all these asset classes are created equal. Utility companies go down when interest rates go up, but guess what goes up when interest rates go up? And the answer is financials, because banks now can charge a little bit more. They have better net interest margins. So there are some winners as well when it comes to rates going up. So if I had to summarize this whole conversation between us, I would say that yes, this is a good time to get out of an entire stock portfolio and have some balance. I think the answer is also yes, that the balance of having some of these other areas is also really, really critical. 404-872-0750, you're listening to Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. I'm live tweeting as we talk here. So this is something I seem to be have said several times today. And I hadn't said this. I don't know if I've ever said this, but today I've said it 10 times. If you think time in the stock market's difficult, try time in the bond market. Just try that. I'm going to live tweet that out. Is it all tweeting live? It's the worst. Anyway, if you happen to be on Twitter, I don't know if you are or not. Now, some shows, a lot of people are on Twitter. I don't think we have a huge amount of tweets or Twitter followers on Money Matters. Not necessarily followers, but people that are actively engaged in using Twitter on Sunday mornings. But if you do, if you happen to be a Twitter fan, my Twitter handle isn't everything about annoying? Everything about Twitter is annoying. This is the name. My handle on Twitter is WesMoss365. WESMOSS 365. And I am going to tweet this out. If you think time in the stock market is difficult, try time in the bond market. Tweet. There you go. So much fun. All right, we got a lot to talk about coming up here in the third, bottom of the half hour, if that's what we say in radio, I guess. At the bottom of the hour. Coming up, straight ahead, dividend payers, 8 reasons the economy is actually going to get better in the second half of 2015. And then, of course, your calls and your questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And we've got to do highlights, lowlights, and we've got a trivia prize pack. All coming up, straight ahead. Find me and the Money Matters team. Easy to do so. WesMoss.com, WESMOSS. com. There's a contact button on the left side. They come right to me. I'll get back to you within 24, 48 hours. Stay tuned right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Then one day you find. I have an AM 750 WSB. Now back to Wes Moss of the money and investing advice you need.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here. WSB Radio here every Sunday morning, 9 to 11. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here along with Ryan Ealy to take your calls and questions. Scott Maxim running the show on the board. And here we are. I want to remind you about AJC, Sunday edition. Pick it up, Sunday edition, AJC, Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Special report this Sunday examines the pending Supreme Court decision on Obamacare and what it means for your health insurance costs. Well, wonder what that's going to mean for your health insurance costs. I'm sure it means the costs are going down, right? Oh, I'm sure. Right. Okay. Good morning. 404-872-0750. The number here in the studio. Well, let's go to the telephone system. Let's go to Don, who joins us from East Cobb, where taxes are low across the river, schools are good, and everyone loves East Cobb.
That's
Don,
right.
Good morning. How can we help? Did you move to East Cobb knowing all that, or you just been there for a while?
No, I've moved from Sandy Springs.
So slightly lower taxes. Sandy Springs is nice too, though.
Oh, I loved it, but my wife was ill, and we needed to find a place, a one-story place, so it worked out nice. It's a nice place. I like it, East Cobb, now.
Well, good. Well, what's going on this morning on a Sunday? How can I help?
Well, since you were talking about bonds and income and stuff today, a while back in the AJC, there was an article about maturing bond ETF funds.
Defined and in another, okay.
High-yield maturing bonds, exchange-traded funds. And I'm old enough where I need to be in a fair amount of bonds. I like to be about 50-50.
Okay.
I got around over 60% in stocks. So a little while ago, a month or so, when the market was real high, I got rid of some of that to get rebalanced. And now I'd like to get into bonds, but this is a horrible time to do it.
Well, it's a challenging time to do it, right?
Yeah.
So bonds have been easy. They've just been easy for the last 30 years because you get 3 to 5% or 5 to 6% and rates go down, so prices go up. And that's why you've seen some of these bond funds have amazing averages that are not that different than the stock market, up 7% a year.
I don't even care about that. I just would like, I looked at bond ladders in about 2008, and I decided not to do it, and it was good because some of the bonds went belly up. They were banks and GM. So these maturing bond funds look like maybe a safer way to accomplish the same thing.
Okay, so here's what Don's asking about. We're worried about bond prices going up and down, but if you own a bond to maturity, there's less to worry about because you know exactly what it's going to mature at. It matures at par. Now, provided it doesn't go out of business. So you brought some good points. GM bonds obviously didn't mature at par because they went bankrupt. And some of the big banks and some of the banking companies, particularly Lehman, they didn't pay at par because they lost 70, 80 cents on the dollar. But if you're really diversified and you own 30 or 40 different bonds or 100 different bonds, if you do one of these defined maturity bond funds or target year bond funds, target maturity bond funds, then to some extent, you know what you're going to get. That's why some investors really like owning individual bond ladders. So I own 10 bonds. I know what they're going to mature at. I've got, let's say, one bond matures every year for the next 10 years, and I know what I'm getting. But here's the problem with that, is that today's interest rates are low, we also have bond prices typically above par. So if I know I have a bond that's going to mature, let's just call it round number here, at $100, and it's trading at $105, I know that my bond is going to slowly go down in price because it's going to mature at $100. The only reason anybody would buy that bond is that over the life of the bond, it's going to pay, let's say again, round numbers, it's going to pay 10%. So it's going to I know I'm going to get a 10% interest payment over the next year, but I know I'm going to lose 5% because it's going to go from 105 back to 100 maturity. But hold on, that's okay, because the math very simply is I'm going to lose 5, I'm going to make 10, I'm going to net 5. Right. I'm going to net 5. And that's why these defined, now, and Vanguard did a white paper about this, and I'll put this on Facebook.
Good.
They did a white paper about defined maturity bond funds, which will also apply to defined maturity bond ETFs. Same thing. And I think they're okay. And they're pretty simple. They buy, it's instead of buying your own bond ladder, they buy it for you. You know that it's going to have a certain maturity date. So let's say it's 3 years from now. It's going to pay out in cash. So it's going to end in 3 years. So it's going to, let's say again, average ending price is par and it's $100 and the ETF ends in 2018. Well, you've had your investment experience over the next couple of years, and then you just get cash. And I've seen plenty of ETFs over the years for various reasons. Some are trying to pay you out cash. Some don't get enough money and they shut them down, and you get your cash back. So that mechanism I've seen work many, many times and work flawlessly. So the answer, my friend, is yes. I think that these defined maturity, it's not something I've ever done. I've seen them, I've looked at them, but I'm buying bond ladders typically. But these defined maturity bond funds solve your very real concern, which is, hey, what if I want to make sure I own more than a few bonds, because what if one goes out of business? Inside of these bond defined maturity bond funds or ETFs, you're going to have 100 or 200 or 300 positions. So you're really super diversified when it comes to credit or default risk. And I like that. So they're very logical.
Name a few?
Well, let me just see here. Again, here's what I'll do. I'm going to do a Vanguard, again, because I've never owned these, Don.
Okay.
I'm not going to just start throwing out names of ETFs that I don't know enough about or haven't invested in myself. So I will, though, and this is on the personal Vanguard website. There's a PDF file.
Okay.
About, they call them DMFs, defined maturity funds, and there's a really nice white paper about it. So I will put that on my Facebook page, just Wes Moss Money Matters, and I'll tweet it out so that you can find it somewhere. And I think that it's worth a read, and it to me, it does make some sense when you're looking for steady income and some certainty on, hey, I know I'm going to get back at some point in time. And there's a lot to be said for that. 404-872-0750. I keep saying that we're going to talk about the economy and figure out where we're headed here, and I want to do that. So, hey, Ryan Ely, do we have a prize pack just yet, or we still need to wait on that a little bit?
We most certainly do have a prize pack.
Why don't you do that while I find my list of 8 reasons the economy is going to continue to do better? I already found it, but why don't we do the prize pack first?
Alrighty. The WSB McDonald's weekend prize pack is a pair of tickets to see David Gray and Amos Lee in concert on June 24th at Verizon Wireless Amphitheater, produced by ASO Presents, and a McDonald's $25 gift card. This week's trivia question, sports related. If you have seen ESPN.com or any of sports media, you saw that Alex Rodriguez hit his 2,000th and 2,001st RBI in a game yesterday, I believe. Tell me, in the modern era, the only other player with 2,000 RBIs.
I don't know
the modern era.
I don't even know what's the difference between the modern era or not?
I think modern era has to go back. I don't know the exact year. I think it's post 1950s or 60s,
maybe? That sounds more modern. I like that. It sounds more modern to me. All right, so 404-741-0750, that's the prize line. All right, let's talk economy for a minute here. Here are 8 reasons why we're going to continue to see a little bit of a pickup. By the way, we had a big retail sales number this week, and we see people spending on automobiles. We see that, we know that during the earlier part of the year, sales spiked at bars and restaurants. That stayed at a relatively high level. We've seen home improvement stores get an uptick. again, automobiles, construction spending. So we've really seen an economic pickup after the first quarter, which was supposedly net negative. They've got to, they revise these things so many different times. But as far as the numbers we know today, the first quarter was actually almost a full 1% negative for GDP. Here are a couple things to look for the second half of the year. Number one, the vehicle sales are at almost 18 million at an annual sales pace, or at least for May. That's a very big number. And that tells me that the consumer is alive, the consumer is spending, and there's some confidence that continues to get better and we're buying more cars. Number two, wage growth is accelerating. So we've continued to see wages go up year over year. Real income growth, which is a slightly different measure, up almost 4% year over year. Let's continue on here. Jobless claims, as far as let's look at what's happening within the jobs market. Jobless claims have continued to stay well below the 300,000 number, which, remember, if you go back to the dark days of the great financial crisis, only a few years ago, we were running at 650,000 people claiming to be jobless in a given in any given week. So that number has gotten much better and staying well below 300,000. And that's even with everything that's happened in the energy industry, and we know that there's been some layoffs there. Let's continue down this list. The port strike. We don't talk a lot about the West Coast port strike in California that lasted a very long time and created a tremendous amount of backlog. So companies like Home Depot couldn't get their product to stores. And if they didn't have their product in stores, then you walk into Home Depot and there's nothing there to buy, or you're limited selection. So it actually hurt. It really hurt a lot of retailers throughout the first quarter, and it doesn't get talked enough about. And that has gotten, again, that's over, and things are flowing again, and that will certainly show up in the numbers in the second and third and probably fourth quarter. Manufacturing, again, continues to show strength, and we're in expansion mode. We have to see that, even though that you see the media say we don't manufacture anything anymore in America. That's false. We absolutely do. It's just a very different manufacturing today than we saw 50 years ago. Continue on the list. Construction spending improved in April. So we see, again, housing, even though interest rates are starting to creep up here, the confidence and wages, and we do see mortgage availability, and we see construction spending going up. Why do we see that? Well, it's because the inventories are low and people want to build houses because they can't find what they want to buy. Ask any real estate agent that, and they'll tell you the same thing. So with that, I look for a better economy in the second half of this 2015. The prize line, trivia prize line, 404-741-0750. More Money Matters straight ahead right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Now here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Highlights, lowlights. Again, the U.S. is now the king of energy. Combined oil and natural gas, BP study, BP's statistical review of world energy, U.S. is now number one if you combine both oil and natural gas together. Here are the big players in oil around the world. Number one on the globe. What country? How many barrels per day? Well, 10 million barrels a day. That's Russia, Saudi Arabia, then the United States, a close third. Virtually, let's call it tied for second. Natural gas, USA number one, Russia number two, Qatar number three, Iran number four, and China number five. So you take our number, our oil production and our natural gas, put them together, and we are the biggest energy producer on the planet. 10 states here in the United States, 80% of the oil in the United States. What are those 10 states? Number 10, Louisiana, 9, Utah, 8, Colorado, 7, Wyoming, 6, Oklahoma, 5, New Mexico, California, 4, Alaska, 3, number 2, North Dakota, and of course, number 1, oil proven reserves in the United States, Texas, of course. Now, the other thought here is that oil prices are now, at least from what we can tell, are on stable footing. I called a bottom in oil from this past April. Early, kind of mid-April, we talked about it because oil prices had gone up since March to April. We were close to $100 a barrel for West Texas Intermediate crude oil back in July. Then we got well under 50, and looked like we were going to 40 bucks in January of this year. Today, we're back to about 60. And if you look at a price chart of oil, there's been a lot of stabilization ever since really March, April. So April through June, it's been much more of a flat line around where we are today, the $60 a barrel. And that's good news. Stability is good news. Lower prices are good. $60 will take over $100 all day long. But even more importantly for the oil industry, which is a huge part of the economy here in the United States, hence we are again the biggest energy producer on the globe, stability is good for that price and for the economy. And again, we've talked about why we think the economy is picking up in the second half of 2015, which we'll continue to keep an eye on that. Find me and the Money Matters team. Easy to do so. My website, just wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com, lower right-hand side. Quick video on you can retire sooner than you think. 5 money secrets of the happiest retirees on the planet. It might really help. I've seen it help a lot of people really get the wheels turning and thinking about when you stop work, at least full-time work. With that, enjoy the rest of this beautiful, very warm Sunday. Continue to stay tuned right here to WSB News, Weather, Traffic, then Adam Goldfein, straight ahead, News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB.